Black and Abdallah. Follow us on the gram at Black and Abdallah and at ESPN underscore Chicago. This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
I disagree with John with no H tweeting the show at Chris Black and at Adam A. Abdallah. Did you see what John with no H tweeted the show?
What's not to believe?
I am not a Sam Darnold truther. That's not the case. I just enjoyed what he did at SC. I think he's a talented quarterback. He needs better people around him. You're trusting Adam Gase?
No.
That guy's a clown.
But
you know Adam Gase is a joke. You know he is.
But I also...
Name me that great offensive talent that Darnold has to work with.
Okay, but I also know you, and I know that you...
What are you guys hitting that for? I'm not a truther.
I'm
not a Darnold truther.
Abdallah. You stand...
Stop! I'm not!
Every single...
I'm not.
You do. You stand every USC quarterback.
I'm a Keaton Slovis guy now.
Oh, what's he gonna do?
He's gonna win the Pac-12 and get into the college football playoff.
Oh, I can't wait for another year of Clay Helton.
Just stop hitting the truther button, all right?
I just think it's
It's not the case.
I just think that you have a
Hold
place
on. You,
in
you
your
think,
heart.
You think the Jets have a lot of offensive weapons and you like Adam Gase?
No.
I'm just looking at it objectively here. I don't think Darnold's in a good situation. And in fact, if Darnold was on the Bills, he'd be having a better season than Josh Allen. So take that. Man, now I am sounding like a truther.
You
what
are.
Is going on?
You're a truther. You
what
are.
What's happening?
No, you are a truther. You're a USC quarterback truther. Lord. Just go down the list.
Wow.
Go down the list.
Wow. Okay. All right. I'm not. I just think
you
that
are.
He needs better people around him. Yeah, he turns the ball over a lot. He did that at SC too.
Okay.
That was the knock. He's a bit Jay Cutler-ish on the field. A little loose with the football, especially when he's trying to avoid traffic and he's trying to get out of the pocket. He brings the ball down low.
A Darnold desirer in the Twitch chat is what they said.
Get out of here
a
with
Darnold desirer.
Get out of here. All these people tweeting now with it. Get out of here with
you
this.
You are.
Right, I'm going to talk to Cameron and Joey.
I'm just telling you that you
I'm
are
sick of you
a
guys.
Sam Darnold truther.
Cameron, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up?
Hey, guys. Love the show.
Thanks, man.
Love what you did with the baseball show and what you're doing now.
Thank you.
I got to stop you right now, though. Trask. The kid from Florida.
Yeah.
You almost made me want to throw up and drive off into a ditch. He's a reincarnation of a slower Tebow. We want to see Rex Grossman again? Seriously?
Grossman got to a
Grossman
Super Bowl.
Grossman took him to the Super Bowl.
Well, yeah. Grossman's defense got us to the Super Bowl.
No, they got a good defense now and they can't get to one.
Well,
Cameron, Kyle Trask has been good, though, to this point in the season. He's in the Heisman conversation.
He's got a 72% completion percentage. He's thrown for 684 yards, 10 touchdowns, 1 interception.
Look at the track record of Florida quarterbacks. It's not good. And I watched him on that game Saturday night. Oh, my God. He's slow.
Yeah, he's not someone that athletically you're going to look at and say, oh, wow, he's going to be the next Lamar Jackson, someone like that.
Yeah, look, I'm just going off
thanks
of
for the
what,
call, Cameron. Call again, all right,
thanks,
man.
Thanks, Cameron. I'm just going off of what we saw yesterday when Mel Kiper Jr. released his quarterback rankings, and Kyle Trask is right in there now. He's in the conversation, and we know how the NFL draft works. Teams that need quarterbacks will move up and go get them, and someone will move up and go, because I still think that they have a chance to win the SEC and meet up with Alabama in the SEC championship game. And they might be, if there's a second team from the SEC that's in the college football playoff, it could be them. And if you shine on the brightest stages, we've seen that you will get drafted high, maybe higher than you're supposed to, but you still get drafted high. So look, the GM fell in love with Trubisky. So don't tell me he's not going to fall in love with another overrated quarterback.
And did you see that there was a Bears scout at Trey Lance's game?
Yes, there was. Every team should have a scout there.
You'd hope, but you know, like, and you're right. And the way this kind of works is even bad or mediocre quarterbacks at good college programs, they at least get a chance.
Mm-hmm.
Think about all the quarterbacks who you say, oh, that guy's on a roster, or that guy's a backup. I mean, you're talking about SC quarterbacks. Matt Barkley is still a backup for the Bills. Matt Barkley is terrible in the NFL, and he wasn't good at the end of his run at SC. Would you guys stop in the Twitch chat?
But you you bought a Barkley jersey.
No, I don't
have a Barkley jersey. When he was a Bear.
No, I don't have one of those. Just stop with the Darnold truther stuff. That's not a thing. We're not doing that. All right? It's a big weekend of college football. In 10 minutes, we will talk to our friend Jordan Cornette from the ACC Network to preview the biggest matchup of the weekend, Clemson and Miami. Is Miami back? We always ask if Texas is back, but I think college football is a better place when Miami is a really good football team.
No, absolutely, and this is probably Clemson's biggest test so far this season until they it's their biggest test this season until they get to Notre Dame later in the season. But yeah, this is it's finally time to see will Clemson be tested. You know, Miami's ranked seventh right now. They're 3-0. Derek King has 6 touchdowns on the year so far. He's thrown for 736 yards. You know, Trevor Lawrence has only had 7 touchdowns, but Clemson seems like they're not showing everything. Clemson also has the best running back in college football, yeah, in Travis Etienne. So they look like that they're just kind of getting by, and I don't mean that as a knock. I mean, I don't think they're showing a lot. I think that they're going to be tested against Miami, but I still think that when it comes time to flex their muscle, that they're going to be able to, that Clemson is going to be able to do that. But this is the biggest test on their schedule so far.
Absolutely. Miami's put it on teams, too. I mean, mm-hmm, they embarrassed Florida State, and Florida State's taking on Notre Dame this weekend as Notre Dame returns to action. So we have a lot of college football to talk with Jordan Cornette in a couple minutes right here on ESPN 1000.
I mean, they're averaging about 45 points a game. They put up 31 on UAB, 47 on Louisville, yeah, 52 on Florida State.
De'Aaron King's been awesome to this point.
Absolutely.
Tony on the south side, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Tony?
Hey, guys, absolutely love the show. I've been listening for a while. You guys got a real nice groove going here.
Thank you, man.
Don't always appreciate that one guy calling. We won't mention names, the way everybody knows who that is. But listen, I don't think that – I know what you guys are saying about the quarterback, but I don't think you trade up for him this year. In fact, I don't think Pace is the guy that should be trading up for anybody, because he can never gauge market value, and we always end up having to give up way too much because teams know that this guy is the gift that keeps on giving. I think we have to focus on filling our other holes. I mean, come on. Why would we want to do what the Giants did to Daniel Jones? Why would we want to put a good quarterback back there in case, like, Foles got hurt or whatever, and have him get decimated by an offensive line that just has not been able to figure it out? You went through what were supposedly 2 awesome guru offensive line coaches. You still can't move the football. And I think there's other holes that need to be filled. Danny Trevathan is definitely showing he's not worth the money. We're going to need that linebacker to go with Roquan. You still kind of need somebody. I know they drafted Gibson, but you still kind of need someone opposite of Mac, because you're not getting the pressure that you got before. Whether that's Pagano's system or not, you still don't have that dominant player. Why not use the resources, get that running back to back up Montgomery, because Cohen won't be the same. Get a left offensive tackle, worry about that, and then when there's a little bit deeper draft, go after the quarterback class, because you're not ready to win in the next 2 to 3 years anyway.
Tony, so are you looking at maybe taking a quarterback in the second, third round? One of those guys a Zach Wilson who may fall, a De'Aaron King, maybe even a KJ Costello?
And anybody in the second or third round, preferably maybe the third round, is going to be more preferential, in my opinion, because you need that front line that's going to dominate. When the Bears were good at 18, both of their front 7 were fierce. You got 2,600 tight ends on that team. You have A-Rob. We don't know what Miller is. It looks like Mooney could be okay, but you are missing essential pieces. I mean, Daniels sometimes looks like he's got it, sometimes not. Whitehair sometimes looks like it, sometimes not. Effetti, we all know he's on a 1-year trick deal. And the 2 tackles, I mean, come on. I don't care if Justin Houston did it or if my grandmother was out there. He got faced. He didn't even get his hands on the guy, period. And it just, to me, seems take the more secure picks that you're better at picking, because you can't pick a quarterback. I mean, they haven't had one since Sid Luckman.
Yeah. Thank you for the call, Tony. Appreciate it. You know, like, that's what scares me, is that if we can't get one of the top 2 guys. And even, like, Trey Lance, to me, is a bit I'm skeptical on that, just because, mm-hmm, we haven't seen enough of him. And I don't want to put everything on a project quarterback. And that's where, if we get to this level where it's Zach Wilson from BYU, It's like, okay, like, yeah, finally, we have a quarterback who probably won't work out. Like, isn't that the story of Bears football for our entire lives?
Yeah.
And like, I would much rather, like, I get it. Trubisky was that. Trubisky was the number two overall pick with, like, all the hype. But, like, that's, we need to keep doing that. We need the best available option until we hit that franchise quarterback.
Well, will fans be as ups, like, let's say Pace sticks around, right? They make the playoffs, Pace is sticking around, right? We can all say that. If they make the playoffs, Pace and Nagy are sticking around.
He's sticking around no matter what.
Okay.
Do you realize how disastrous the rest of the 12 games to end this would have to be for them to get fired?
Listen, it's the NFL, man. Anything can happen.
They'd have to go 2-10 over the course of the next 12.
I understand that.
It's not going to happen.
Okay, so when they're around next year and Ryan Pace trades up to get a quarterback and everybody comes in on the draft's on a Thursday, everybody comes in on that Friday and is like, oh my God, he did it again. What is this guy thinking? But what if he gets it right? Isn't it worth it then? Isn't it worth it? Like, we wouldn't be having these conversations about Trubisky if he was right. He may not have been as good as Mahomes or as Watson, but if he was just formidable at quarterback and wasn't as bad as he's been, we'd be okay with it. So if he does it again, but Nagy's in there to get it right this time, then we're not going to complain. Like, if they trade up for Trey Lance and Trey Lance ends up being the guy, then there's nothing to complain about. You know what I mean? Like, I have more faith with Nagy in the room than I do with just Pace by himself.
And you make a good point there. If Trubisky was where Josh Allen was last year at this time, then things would be okay.
I don't need him to light it up and put up 50 touchdowns like Mahomes did. But if he was just average, we'd be okay with it because the defense would be good. The offense would be not 29th in the NFL in offense like they were last year. They'd be average, and this team would be a lot better.
We preview the college football weekend with Jordan Cornette from the ACC Network next.
You're listening to Black and Abdallah.
ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
We're talking about the good college football weekend, week 6 in college football. Obviously the headliner, Miami and Clemson, but also in the ACC, Virginia Tech, North Carolina is a top 25 matchup as well. That's an early game. We are on later in the day for Chicago's college tailgate with Jonathan Hood on Saturday before the Notre Dame game. Notre Dame is back in action against Florida State. That's a night game at 6:30. You can hear that game right here on ESPN 1000. And Abdallah, with all the great college football action we've seen in the last couple of weeks, it's going to be interesting to see Notre Dame get back in the mix after being off for a couple of weeks due to COVID-19.
Yeah, they had that first week off because of COVID-19 tests. They had the bye week last week, which was planned, obviously. They'll make up that game later in the season. But they get Florida State. It should be a pretty easy game for Notre Dame. They're ranked 5th right now. So, I mean, you expect them to take care of business against Florida State. And their biggest test is going to be, you know, when they face Clemson. But we'll see if Clemson can beat up on Miami the way they've been beating up on everybody else.
Yeah, Miami, last time out, they beat Florida State 52-10. And let's bring in Jordan Cornette from the ACC Network. You also hear him on ESPN Radio, at Jordan Cornette on Twitter. And Jordan, when we look at the Miami Hurricanes taking on the Clemson Tigers, that's the big marquee game of the weekend. And really, Miami to this point have not been challenged. They've just been rolling everyone over. What do you think of Miami to this point in the season?
Well, you know, guys, for one, it's good to be on your own show. I think Chicago's been missing this
for a
long time. And I'm happy Black and Double A, you guys got this opportunity.
Thank you.
It's great to be on with you guys, man. Absolutely. For me, you know, and I think for anybody who follows the Canes closely, this conference in football, that being the ACC, but also college football, understands that the brand, the product is simply better when the Miami Hurricanes are relevant. And now that they've got a quarterback in Derek King, something that they've been devoid of for so long, who's sound of mind, a fantastic decision maker, a true dual threat and an absolute leader. There's confidence of it that the guys have in him when they go out on the field, that they're going to play refined button-up football. And it's shown. That being said, for Miami to go out there, be greedy, not just say, can we keep this close for the juggernaut that is Clemson, but go out there in this game and try and get them. I think we've seen this past weekend the opportunities and how vulnerable Clemson can be defensively with Brennan Armstrong. You guys know that name? Not a lot of people don't. Brennan Armstrong, the quarterback for Virginia, who's a dual threat in his own way, but is not on the Heisman watch list like De'Aaron King, had some success against Clemson's defense, albeit in a rout. So if this guy can get going like he has been, it's going to be a huge game. And then people can finally start to ask, is the U back legitimately? Because if you even come close to handling business versus Clemson, it changes the rhetoric and the belief system that Miami might be on their way.
You mentioned Clemson's defense. They're allowing 90 rushing yards a game. They're allowing 213 yards through the air so far this season. But have they just been playing down to their competition? I mean, obviously they crushed the Citadel. Who doesn't crush the Citadel? But as far as Virginia and Wake Forest, are they just playing down to their competition because they haven't been tested yet and they're being more vanilla until they play these bigger games against Miami, North Carolina, Notre Dame? Are they just saving their best stuff for the best games?
You know, AA, it's a fair question. I think they, like many of these teams in college football, are simply trying to figure out their identity. And going back to what that identity is, it's confidence at the quarterback position. Miami's always had a top-10 defense. They've always gotten after the quarterback. They've always generated turnovers. Since they implemented the turnover chain, they've led the FBS in turnovers. So this is a team that had pieces but continually shot themselves in the foot with a lack of discipline, boneheaded mistakes, giving away the football, and poor quarterback play. And under Manny Diaz, these are things that have all been tightened up, and it looks like a team that you could say, yeah, has been rolling over lesser competition, but isn't that what you want from your teams that are supposed to be the movers and shakers, the disruptors in the game, workmanlike when they need to be? That's what Miami has been. They put themselves in position, from what we've seen on the field, to say, this team has a shot. And I go back to one of the points with Miami football that has also crushed them is their offensive line has been perennially one of the worst in college football. That offensive line has taken a massive step this season, which has also elevated the play of De'Aaron King, and it's been a domino effect of positivity.
Jordan Cornette from the ACC Network talking college football with Black and Abdallah here on ESPN 1000. Jordan, you know how it is here in Chicago. The Bears are 3-1, but we're still looking ahead at possible quarterbacks for next year. Let Bears fans know, how good has Trevor Lawrence been to this point in the season? Obviously, the Tigers are 3-0. They're the number one team in the country. Trevor Lawrence back for more.
Oh yeah. Trevor Lawrence back for more. Black, I'm going to try and tease that with Trevor Lawrence here, as the quarterback situation has been so bad there in Chicago. I mean, it's tough. I won't say I told you so. I know you guys got those in the chamber as well. We'll just take the high road here and not go down that path. But I got to say, it's been nice looking at my timeline and seeing all those Trubisky truthers out there have poofed. Vanished before our eyes. It's funny how that works, right?
Especially the biggest one, too. Have you heard from him,
JC? I hope Cap's listening right now. Love him to death. Love our guy to death. Trevor Lawrence is special, man. I mean, Trevor Lawrence is that guy. And to come out here and see a guy with all the expectation on him, and how he's also discovered his voice in this climate of young 18- to 22-year-old college athletes understanding their power and their platform, it's been nice to see him discover that voice, which has led to a little bit more confidence in handling the ridiculously high expectations they have for T-Law there, Clemson. The guy throws a perfect deep ball. The guy makes the quick decisions. He understands defenses and can exploit defense with simply his eyes at the line of scrimmage as a signal caller under center. He's a perfect football player. And I think what you're also seeing, which people were slow to catch last year, but now it's a horribly kept secret, is his ability to tuck that thing and run. I mean, this guy is legitimately a guy who can hurt you with his feet. And again, going to decision-making, understanding when to utilize the run game option of what he presents, as well as just crush you. And it also does speak to the weapons there. When he leaves Clemson, there's a real shot. The targets that he is hitting every season there at Clemson are going to be more talented than the ones for whatever team he joins in the NFL. That's what kind of talent is down there at Clemson. I've never seen anything like it. It's a machine. And Abdallah, I know your Bama squad, I know 96% in the top 10 over the last 12 years they've been there. But Clemson, I'm telling you, it really feels like there's going to be a shift in this thing because of what Clemson has going. It's wild to watch. And I know I'm saying that in the face of an Alabama team that looks ridiculously good again this year.
Don't let Mac Jones hear that. I'll tell you that. Just wait.
I know. Hey,
just wait. We'll
good,
see what happens when he gets there.
He ain't T-Law, though, brother.
Of course not. But on the other side, Derek King, what have you seen from him this season that makes him so much better from his time at Houston?
It's his coolness in the pocket. Because, again, I sang the praises of this offensive line having taken a massive step. But that massive step still makes them a little bit above average. And a lot of that is because when anything breaks down in the defense in a play, look shot, this guy can still make something happen. He's a playmaker at the quarterback position. But I think what Derek King has realized here, and this is no shot at Houston because we know what that program has become, but Miami has some real speed and some guys that can get that ball and make some things happen in space. I think that's something that has been elevated even from Houston to now where he is in Miami. So De'Aaron King is saying, oh, by the way, Brevin Jordan, the best tight end in the country, he's his number one target. Cameron Harris in the run game has been dominant too, setting the tone. So he's been able to lean into a run game. He's got a primary option who's one of the most talented in the country. Other guys around him with speed. He sees a wealth of options and a wealth of opportunity. And again, going back to the discipline and maturity, is choosing the right option time and time again. And that's been the difference.
Jordan Cornette from the ACC Network talking football with Black and Abdallah here on ESPN 1000. North Carolina faces off against Virginia Tech, another top 25 matchup in the ACC. And Jordan, we've kind of had the conversation that the ACC is one team at the top, and then it's like, let's see if Clemson gets to the college football playoff, and probably maybe Notre Dame could get into that conversation. But to be honest, to this point in the season, North Carolina looks powerful, Miami looks powerful, you throw in Notre Dame, that's good, four good teams at the top of the ACC. Is the ACC as a conference better than we thought it would be heading into the college football season?
Yeah, look, I know there's a bunch of holes you can poke in this thing, but what it comes down to is, Black, it's history. I mean, these are four teams in the AP top 10 in the ACC for the first time in conference history. And I understand that there's a rack of teams that aren't playing right now, Pac-12, Big Ten, I get it. But those teams are still ranked. And what you're seeing right now is all of a sudden depth in a conference that was devoid of it. I mean, when the AP top 25 was finito last year and the season was done, only Clemson was in the AP top 25. So look at the rise in this conference in simply a year. I don't know many people that can say they're having a good 2020. The ACC and football would have to be one of them, bringing Notre Dame in, all the eyes and attention that has come with that as well. And there's kind of a lightweight flex going on here. That being said, I think North Carolina is the most vulnerable of those four ACC teams in the top 10 right now. It's because Sam Howell hasn't looked like I expected him to look in the jump from his freshman to sophomore season. He's still very special. He's going to be a pro. It's coming. But I think he's regressed a little bit. That offense lacks the explosion that was expected of it with all the continuity and so many veterans. The defense still looks strong, but they, like a lot of teams, look sloppy out of the gate. So I'm really curious to watch them in these next few weeks to gain more confidence in a team that has underwhelmed me, albeit in the top 10 right now because of Mack Brown and the buzz he's brought there to Chapel Hill.
You mentioned Notre Dame, and they're ranked fifth in the country right now. They've got the 16th most efficient defense in the country. They've got one of the best offensive lines in the country. Yeah. Is Ian Book good enough, and has he made enough progress to make them a contender for the playoff?
Gosh, I mean, it's such a good question. I mean, because that is the question right now is, you know, Ian Book was propped up on these preseason Heisman watch lists. It's another offense under Tommy Rees taking over as the offensive coordinator that has lacked real explosion and, to be quite honest, an identity. To be expected with all the weapons and established targets that were lost, we knew there was going to be some growing pains there. And look, Notre Dame dominated, posted that shutout versus USF. You know, those regional Florida schools are always dangerous. They left no doubt in that matchup. But again, that offense still hasn't really shown it to me. They've got a little run game going. Kyron Williams has really showed himself a little bit. Looking to see more from Braden Lindsay, now healthy. Kevin Austin is, I think, the guy to watch out for most with his team returning from injury, which I believe was a broken foot. An absolute playmaker on the perimeter for this team. That should maybe give them a little bit more JU ice to get going offensively. That remains to be seen. But I think if you ask anybody across the board is, with Notre Dame fans, they're largely, I wouldn't say split, But there are some that kind of question, is this really the guy? He showed the ability, but consistency and to go vertical, that's what I'm looking for.
Jordan, you know us. Abdallah and I are watching college football all day long. And to be honest, there's nothing cooler than flipping around on college football Saturday and seeing Jordan Cornette break into games to give us in-game updates. It's awesome. Keep up the great work. And thanks for taking some
time
for us tonight.
And congrats on your new show, too. You've got some fans of the Cornettes, if you will, in the Twitch chat right now.
Oh,
so
yeah,
they're
the
shouting you out
show.
As well. Yeah, so
absolutely.
Congrats to you as well, man.
Hey, I'll tell you, man, I've lucked out by just following in Shay's footsteps. I know she has a larger fan base. I'm just happy to be aligned with her. But in all honesty, guys, more than anything, it's fun to watch all of us, you know, come through that ESPN 1000 corridor, get bigger opportunities, and start to show what we really can do. And you too, I'm so proud of you guys. Shay, who's passed out on the couch, would say the same right now. We love you guys, man. And anytime you want me on it, I'd be over the moon to join, man. Big fans.
Thanks, Jordan. Have a great night, right?
Appreciate it, man.
Thanks, guys.
That's Jordan Cornette from the ACC Network. Seriously, there's nothing cooler than flipping through and you're watching a game and all of a sudden, boom, here's Jordan Cornette. Oh, by the way, this guy scored in this game and boom, like, it's awesome.
Oh, yeah, like I'm watching and my wife is sitting next to me. She's like, hey, isn't that Jordan? I'm like, yeah, that's big time Jordan Cornette right now, yeah.
Follow him on Twitter at Jordan Cornette.
You're listening to Black and Abdallah.
ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports.
Alex and Wheeling listening on ESPN 1000. He called 312-332-3776. All calls welcome. Let's go to Alex. What's up, Alex?
Alex.
You got a pretty cute team there.
Alex.
All right, Alex is
on. Oh, yeah, I was on mute. Sorry, guys.
Oh, there we go. You're on mute. You got to unmute the Zoom, man. You got to unmute the Zoom.
All right, go ahead.
Sorry about that. I just wanted to ask about the upcoming draft. I know there's always talk about SEC bias, but I think this year, is it going to be more warranted and more if you're looking at a guy that might have played in the ACC or the SEC and trying to compare him with someone from the Big Ten and the Pac-12, just with the scheduling differences and the game differences? Are they going to say, like, the dudes from the conferences that played the most games played more, played against competition that was in their conference, as opposed to a seven-game Pac-12 schedule against we're not going to look at November?
Well, Alex, I think that this is going to be weird to say. Dudes are dudes, right? Like, there are guys that have opted out because they know.
Is that your official statement?
Dudes are dudes. Dudes are dudes. Yeah, dudes are dudes. Like,
a professional.
Yeah. Like, dudes are dudes, man. And if you're,
if you're a dude,
then you're gonna get drafted regardless of whether you opted out or you like. There's offensive linemen at Oregon that are gonna be the first offensive lineman taken. Like, could it help you in like the fourth round, fifth round, sixth round because there's more tape? Sure, yes. But like the guys in the first and second round, they kind of know they're going to be first and second round players.
Well, Alex, I would also say this. With Trevor Lawrence, we have games to go back and look on. Right? Like, we've seen a catalog of games. Justin Fields, we saw what he did last year for Ohio State.
Yeah, I don't think those are the guys that they're worried about.
Like the guy I would be worried about would be Trey Lance. Right, because Trey Lance played the one game, and then we have what he had last year. Mm-hmm. He didn't throw any picks last year. He threw a pick in this one game. But really, what does that matter? He played one game. I don't know if I could go off of that. The other guy I would be worried about, I know we talked about it a couple of times, is Zach Wilson with BYU. BYU is playing the softest schedule possible. Mm-hmm. It's not their fault. It's because they couldn't schedule anybody. But he's putting up great numbers. He's going to be in the conversation, Alex. But that's a guy that I agree with you. I think it's going to be interesting to see how NFL teams work this, because the stats for a guy like Wilson are going to be eye-popping, and BYU is going to go undefeated, but they didn't play anybody. So how do you judge that on the next level?
I have no clue. That's why I'm asking. I understand on the Power 5 conferences, if someone was to say, I'd rather take maybe a second-tier offensive lineman from the ACC compared to a dude from the Pac-12, because as of right now, I mean, we don't know what the season's going to look like. There's a chance that the Pac-12 season's going to be messed up anyway since they're in November. I mean, the top guys we already knew, like Lawrence, Fields, and pretty much some dudes from Alabama. Like, there's no hesitation on them regardless. But I was just curious.
Yeah, no, Abdallah, good.
In your notebook, what page did you have dudes or dudes in?
Oh, that's written at the top of every page. That's like my BU.
Every page.
That's my BU.
What he would doodle.
That's my BU. I order.
In high school,
no.
Doodle. Dudes
I order. Are dudes. I order. Instead of getting like a monogram that says like Adam's thoughts or anything like that, it just says dudes or dudes at the top.
Thanks, guys. Have a good one.
Thanks, Alex.
Thanks, Alex. Have a good day. You know someone who's interesting based on this concept who's going to be helped out by this is KJ Costello.
Yeah.
Right? Because he transfers from the Pac-12 to the SEC. The SEC's playing a full schedule, and he's going from an offensive system with David Shaw, which is a little bit more conservative, obviously, because it's not the air raid. And he's in an air raid system now with Mike Leach. He's going to be throwing the ball all over the place. We're going to see him showcased. Mm-hmm. I know Mississippi State lost last week. They were upset after their big win against LSU. But KJ Costello is a guy that's going to probably be in a spot, as far as the draft goes, that he would not have been in if he stayed in the Pac-12.
Well, what did Mike Leach say to Gardner Minshew? Do you want to lead the league? Do you want to lead college football in passing? Come play for me.
And he did, and he got drafted, right?
Absolutely, yeah.
And to be honest, it's worked out pretty well for Gardner Minshew, right?
Yeah, oh yeah, I would say so.
I would think absolutely.
And I think that, you know, when you go to a guy's system, it's obviously going to make you look better. Like, look at Jalen Hurts. Look at what, and yes, Black and Abdallah found a way to talk about Jalen Hurts. Look at what going to Oklahoma
man,
did.
Man, I cannot wait until he takes that starting gig. Ooh, the parade we are going to throw.
Oh, man.
It's going to be the best.
Look at what going to Oklahoma did for Jalen Hurts. Look what staying another year at Alabama did, because everybody was like, oh, he could have cut and run, but he stayed and was there for the team and when they needed him most, and he brought them back in the SEC championship game, and what a great leader he is, and everybody respects Jalen Hurts. And then obviously he transfers and he goes to Oklahoma, and he's a Heisman Trophy candidate when he goes to Oklahoma, and he leads them to a big season. And so then he gets drafted higher than he probably would have had he been Tua's backup for another year. You know what I mean? Like, it can help. It can definitely help you. And I think that, you know, this isn't the NCAA tournament where, you know, like we talk about guys like Obi Toppin, right? Who the Bears or the Bulls might take. Yeah. And if he had an NCAA tournament where he would lead, you know, the NCAA tournament in scoring, then he might have moved up even higher and might have been out of the Bulls' like reach or something like that. Like, he might have been that dude. But because there isn't one, he might be available at 4 for when the Bulls pick. Like, it works in your favor or not in your favor.
Kevin in Mount Prospect, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Kevin?
What's up, dudes? I have two questions. Whether you think that playing just strictly in your own conference would help or hurt a prospective draft prospect, mostly those outside of the Power Five. And second question is, do you think that opting out of playing this season would help or hurt your cause?
All right, thanks for the call, Kevin. I'm going to answer the first question first. I think playing in your conference actually helps because you're playing against better competition through the duration of the schedule. I don't think any talent evaluators are looking at those early season cupcakes and saying, yeah, look what this quarterback did against the Citadel or against Northwest, Southern, whatever. I just made up a school. That's not
Northwest,
really a school.
Southern, whatever.
Yeah, they're not really a university.
They got some fly gear, though. They're
not really.
They're Jordan
not really
school.
A school.
They're Jordan school.
That'd be cool, but they're not. I don't think that talent evaluators look at that. I think they go to the big games and see how they respond in those games. And I know you and I are not NFL scouts, but the one thing that sold me on Jalen Hurts, and we were just talking about him, was the comeback and the game that he played against Baylor, a top 10 team, at the time when he made mistakes in the game, but then he brought the Sooners back, and it was like, oh, this kid has more than just fancy running stats or bouncing from Alabama to Oklahoma. Like, this kid wins, and I like that. And, like, I think that's what people look at. I don't think people look at the games where they put up 8 touchdowns in the first quarter against some terrible team to start the season.
No, I agree with you. I don't think, you know, when you're looking at guys like Tua, right, and guys at Alabama, where they'd play, you know, and they'd be pulled halfway through the third quarter, they're not counting that against them. But if you put up good stats against good teams, you know, that's when it shines. You know, that's when you start to shine. Like, you mentioned Jalen Hurts. Well, he brought Alabama back in that SEC championship game. It showed resiliency. It shows that guys rally around him. It's all that intangible stuff that we talk about that you can't really measure. Also, it's on there with on-field talent because you have the talent to bring a team back from such a big deficit.
Coming up next, I know we're only supposed to tease one thing at a time, but I've got something that I don't like, something I didn't know.
Okay.
A shout out to give.
Okay.
All in the next 10 minutes on the show.
It's a lot.
You're listening to Black and Abdallah on ESPN 1000. Chicago's home for sports.
Download the podcast of Black and Abdallah on the ESPN Chicago app. You can hear Jordan Cornette, who joined the show earlier tonight from the ACC Network. We broke down the college football slate in the ACC. Big game, Miami and Clemson this weekend. Notre Dame back on the field. You can hear Notre Dame's game right here on ESPN 1000. And Chicago's College Tailgate with Black Abdallah and Jonathan Hood will be with you at 3 o'clock on Saturday, leading you into coverage of Notre Dame football right here on ESPN 1000. Thanks to Sean Davis for producing the show and to Jordan Cornette for joining the show. Again, download the podcast on the ESPN Chicago app. All right, I've got something that I don't like, something that I didn't know, and a shout-out. What do you want first?
Shout-out.
Shout-out. The shout-out goes to the Seattle Storm for winning the WNBA championship and Breanna Stewart winning the WNBA Finals MVP. Breanna Stewart was injured last year. She was out. She bounces back. She wins the MVP. She's 26.
Mm-hmm.
She has accomplished everything there is to accomplish in basketball, and she's 26, and she wins another championship. Shout-out to Breanna Stewart. Shout-out to Sue Bird, who is the point god.
How about this for Sue Bird?
She is amazing.
How about this for Sue Bird? Four-time WNBA champion, 11-time WNBA All-Star, 5-time All-WNBA First Team, 3-time second team. She's in the WNBA top 15 players of all time. Yep. She's a 5-time Russian National League champion, a 5-time Euro League champion, a 2-time Euro Super Cup winner, and she won an NCAA championship 2 years.
Incredible. Twice.
It's
incredible.
Insane. She has so many trophies. Oh, and she has 4 Olympic medals.
You know, and what's kind of interesting is if you look at it with that perspective, because you said she has so many trophies, right? Which is a very European soccer thing to do, right? And in this country, we just look at, did you win the championship?
Yeah.
Right? Like Major League Baseball players, we say, did you win the World Series? NBA, did you just win the finals? Mm-hmm. In the NFL, did you win the Super Bowl, right? Mm-hmm. But like, in other sports, you say, how many trophies did they collect, right?
Yeah,
and
yeah.
When so-and-so leaves a club, they say, oh, he collected 13 trophies in his 7 years.
Yeah.
I mean, Sue Bird has collected trophies, and Breanna Stewart, to this point in her career,
mm-hmm.
she has collected trophies not only at UConn when she was in college, but also with the Seattle Storm. The Seattle Storm win another WNBA championship. So shout-out to the Seattle
Storm. Shout-out.
What do you want next? What I don't like or what I didn't know?
What you didn't know. Let's leave a salty taste in the mouth with what you didn't like. What didn't you know?
All right. Did you notice, did you watch SNL last weekend, the season premiere of SNL?
Unfortunately.
Okay. So something that I didn't think about until after the fact, and now it kind of makes sense, was it was very refreshing to see that there was a live audience. You notice that? There was a live studio audience for Saturday Night Live.
Yes, yes.
And now, when the pandemic started, they were doing Saturday Night Live at home, and it was awful.
And they were recording stuff, it was terrible. Whatever. You got to try.
It was garbage.
You got to do something.
No, it was terrible.
They're getting paid. Do something.
Well, I know, but it was terrible. So they do it. They have a live studio audience, mm-hmm. and like as it happened, it was very refreshing to see a live studio audience reacting
mm-hmm.
to people try and be funny on stage, because it wasn't very good this week.
It wasn't very funny. Weekend Update was pretty funny. Oh, I remember. I told you that one
weekend
part of Weekend Update was
good.
Funny. The A.D. Bryant's the little girl character is great.
You know she's from Chicago.
A.D. Bryant? I know, yeah.
Okay, so it's refreshing, right, that there's a live studio audience.
Mm-hmm.
One more side note to not being funny.
Mm-hmm.
The Jim Carrey Biden, not very good.
He's good.
He's doing Jim Carrey.
Is very good at the facial the acting, that kind of thing.
It's not. Yeah. He's not. I was just going to say a phrase that would sound inappropriate, mm-hmm. but like he's not nailing the impression of Biden.
Yeah,
I was going to leave out the impression part, and I thought that would sound weird, so I abbreviated that.
Yes.
Okay. So in New York City, you can't have live studio audiences.
Yeah, I know.
So how do they do this?
I know where you're going with
this. Well, the Hollywood Reporter today, I didn't know this. This is something I didn't know.
Mm-hmm.
NBC actually paid all of the audience members to be employees to sit there, and they made $150 to be a part of the live studio audience for SNL. And they're going to do this for each new episode that takes place until the pandemic is over. They are going to hire people to sit in the crowd, and they will make $150 to get around the limitations. That's something I didn't know.
Can I
didn't
get
know
paid to go to concerts?
That'd be cool, right?
Well, did you
maybe a Bears game? Or?
Did you know that the very front of the house was all first responders?
Yeah, Chris Rock said that.
So I hope that's something that they continue.
Yeah.
I mean, you're paying them, whatever. But also give first responders the best seats in the house.
Fair. I don't know if I'd want to be in the spit range, though. Because that's the second thing I thought
of.
No,
they were back, dude.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
They were in the first section.
They did the wide
floor.
They did the wide shot. They were way back. Way back.
And do they have a musical guest for this week? Because did you see the Morgan Wallen stuff that he's now kicked off of the show for this week?
He was celebrating Alabama A&M a little too much.
Yeah.
He was out in Alabama.
Morgan Wallen's a country star, if you don't know. And apparently Lorne Michaels has kicked him off the show for this week. So now they need a new musical
act. Probably be Paul Simon. That's the go-to, isn't it? Isn't the go-to always Paul Simon? How many times has Paul Simon been the musical guest?
Who else is just like in New York?
A lot of people, because no one can go anywhere.
No, I know, but like musical artists who are just there.
Oh,
that's
tons,
who it's going to be.
Tons of them. Yeah, I'm sure there are bands that are there that they could pull together. But it'll probably be, I'll tell you this, it'll probably be a solo artist.
Yeah.
It'll probably be a little piano deal or a little guitar deal. It's probably going to be Paul Simon.
You know who it's going to be. It's probably going to be Timberlake. He's always there at Rockefeller with Fallon doing his little skit, doing the little rap through history deal. Yeah, I know.
No, thanks.
All right. The thing I don't like.
What's grinding your gears?
Let me get the promo out of the way. On Friday night, you can listen to Game 5 of the NBA Finals right here on ESPN 1000. LeBron James will go for another championship, and then GOAT conversations will follow, even though we went through the pandemic here in this state. We already did the whole Jordan-LeBron thing, so I think we should all be educated this time around. When people like Nick Wright want to tell us that LeBron is better than anyone else who's ever played basketball, we all say to him, sir, we watched The Last Dance, and we already did this. We know Jordan's the best. Here's what I don't like. I do not like the NBA Finals in the fall. I thought the other night, I'm watching it. I get it. Listen, in sports, there's almost nothing I enjoy more than the history of the NBA Finals and consuming the NBA Finals. And it has a spot on the calendar. It should be in June. It should be at the start of the summer. That's the right time for it.
So you don't
want
to start the season in January anymore?
I know that they want to do that. I know they're gonna shift the schedule and shift when the playoffs take place. There is too much going on right now
for
them to be playing the NBA Finals against all of this other competition. I don't like it.
This stuff going on.
Baseball's going to normally be going on at this time. Football's going to normally.
You're not
watching
baseball.
So what? You want the NBA Finals to end, what, at the end of July?
You're not watching. First of all,
I don't like the NBA Finals in the fall.
You're not watching baseball.
That's what I don't like.
You're not watching baseball.
I am watching baseball.
No, you're not.
I'm watching baseball every night.
So if the season starts in January, when will it end?
Well, I don't know. That's the tough thing. Is like, I get what they're trying to do.
It ends
they want
in July.
To avoid football. But guess what? These NBA Finals ran into football.
This time. But next year, if they set the start in July. Okay.
July finals?
You're missing dog days of summer baseball. Who cares?
Yeah. And the ramp up to the NFL.
Ramp up? You got 2 months before the NFL season starts. Ramp up.
We'll be back tomorrow at 2 with Waddle and Sylvie in 6 to 8 here on ESPN 1000.
Listening to Black and Abdallah on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.